Parshas Bamidbar, new parsha, new chumash. The Torah begins in this week's parsha with the counting of Klal Yisrael, and it says in the second pasuk, "Su'u es roish kadas b'nei Yisrael." You should count all of the community, all of the congregation of Klal Yisrael, the mishpachosam, leveis avosam, the families according to their father's household. Mishpachosam leveis avosam. So I want to share with you a medrash on this pasuk. The medrash says that when Klal Yisrael received the Torah, all of the nations, meaning the non-Jewish nations, were very jealous of Klal Yisrael. And they said, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been makariv the Jews and not us? It's unfair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, a very peculiar sounding taina, he says to them, Heviu li sefer yuchsin shalochem. Could you please bring me your book of lineage? Show me where you descend from. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael indeed did do just that. As it says in our parasha, L'mishpachosam leveis avosam, they could trace their lineage back to their father and their grandfather. And in fact, the Medrash concludes, Shelo yizochu litoil es ha-Torah. The only right, the only merit by which Klal Yisrael received the Torah was because of their yuchasim, because of their lineage. Adkan divrei the Medrash. So again, the goyim complained they didn't receive the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me see your sefer yuchasim, to which they say, we don't have one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, Klal Yisrael do, and that's why they received the Torah. So obviously this whole Medrash needs explanation. Firstly, what exactly was the complaint of the goyim? We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to everybody. They all said no, and Klal Yisrael said yes. So what was their taina exactly? Oh, it's not fair. You were makariv Klal Yisrael more than you were makariv us. We offered it to everybody. You said no, and they said yes. What was their taina? Number one. And number two, whatever exactly their complaint was, what on earth has the sefer yuchasin got to do with it? Kadosh Baruch Hu says that Klal Yisrael was zoicha to receive the Torah because they can produce a sefer yuchasin. They can show a book of lineage to clearly show where they derive from, where they come from. What's that got to do with Kabbalah HaTorah at all? Why is that relevant at all? So the explanation that I saw, and we'll try and build it up a little bit, is as follows. The goyim are upset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give them the Torah. So as we asked, they could have accepted it and then they would have got the Torah. So the Gemara in fact tells us in Avodah Zarah that their taina specifically was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Klal Yisrael into receiving the Torah. As we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kofo aleim har kegigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended Har Sinai above their heads and said, either you receive the Torah, or that's it, I'm going to drop the mountain on you. And that was the taina of the goyim. The taina of the goyim was, why didn't you suspend the mountain above our heads? Had you only been kofo har kegigis on our heads, then maybe indeed we would have accepted the Torah. That specifically was their taina. Not, why didn't you just give us the Torah? Why did you not force us into taking the Torah, just like you forced, coerced, as it were, Klal Yisrael into receiving the Torah? And of course, we need to therefore understand, one moment, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force us into receiving the Torah? What's the purpose of forcing anybody to do anything? That means we will makabel the Torah. If somebody dangles a mountain above your head and says, receive the Torah, or else, then you don't really have much of a choice. So what was that all about? What was the kriya? What was the forcing into? So here we arrive at a very important yisoid, and this is based on a principle that we've mentioned many, many, many times in this year. The Rambam famously writes the following. He says, we know there are occasions in which a person has to divorce his wife. Halachic reasons, for reasons we're not going to get involved in now. Under those circumstances, he's given no choice. He has to be Megarish his wife, and what happens if he doesn't want to? So we force him into doing so. Beis Din will beat him up until eventually he says, Reitza ani, I want to do it. With the obvious question being, what do you mean he wants to do it? He just said he doesn't want to do it. And the halacha is, you can only divorce one's wife if you have proper das to do so. If you're beaten up black and blue until you say the words, Reitza ani, does that mean that he really wants to divorce his wife? He claims adamantly that he doesn't. So it's not just a hashkafic question, it's a halachic question. How is his get valid at all? He never divorced his wife willingly. That's the question. So the Rambam tells us his famous Yusoid, which is widely, widely quoted and adapted to many, many, many areas of Avodas Hashem. And he says, every Jew wants to do essentially the right thing. Every Jew wants to do the right thing. The problem is that on occasion the Yetzer Hara gets involved and he tricks us and he deludes us and he confuses us, and that's why we're over our veers. It's like, as you can imagine you have an elastic rubber band. It has its natural shape. You can sometimes pull it in this direction, pull it in this direction. It'll always snap back to its natural shape at the end. The natural norm, as it were, of every Jew is to do Ratz and Hashem. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. That's our innermost and deepermost Ratz and is to Makayim, that Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. The Yetzirah comes now from the outside, says, no, do this, do the other, do something else. When we give this fellow Makkas and we beat him up, what are we in fact doing? We're not changing his mind. We're really just being Megale. Essentially what he wants to do anyway. We're just stripping him of the Yetzer Hara, that's all. So we're not changing his mind. If he really didn't want to do it, then it would be a joke to force him into it and say, well, he said Reitza Ani at the end of the day, but he doesn't want to do it. No, he does want to do it. Do you know why he wants to do it? Because it's the correct thing to do. Under those circumstances, whatever they are, that is what the halacha prescribes, that he has to divorce his wife. A Jew wants to do the right thing. The Yetzirah confuses him. I do want to, I don't want to, maybe I don't, maybe it's not that. So Beis Din say one thing, we have a way of just getting rid of the Yetzirah. It's a painful way, but it does the trick. So eventually when he says Reitza Ani, what is he really saying? I want, I really do want. That was always my innermost Rotzen. That's the famous Yisrael of the Rambam in Perek Beis in Hilchos Geirushin. In other words, what are we learning from the Rambam? We're learning from the Rambam that when you force somebody to do something, if you want to know at the end of the day, did he do it willingly or unwillingly, you have to know what was his natural feeling in the first place. If somebody genuinely doesn't want to sell his house and you force them into it, well then he was forced. Then you can say the sale may not be valid. But where you're dealing with mitzvahs, where the natural gravitation of every single person is he wants to do the right thing, but because that was always his rotzein pnimi, that was always his internal wish, so when we're forcing him to do it, we're not forcing him to change his mind. What are we doing? We're really just bringing out that inner rotzein that was always there and got a little bit concealed and blurred by the Yetzer Hara. And the Horoshim explained the same is true when HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the mountain above Klal Yisrael's head. So what do we say? Well, what's the point of that? If you have a mountain dangling over your head, of course you're going to be Makabel the Torah. No! Their Rotzain was to do the right thing anyway. Without the threat of the mountain, perhaps the Yetzirah would have got the better of them. Who says you want mitzvahs and it's very difficult to keep and you really want to do it and it's very hard life and it won't be so comfortable. So the kfir, the forcing of the Har Sinai, is not to change their minds. Rather what? It's just to be megale, to bring out into the open what secretly and innermost what they really felt from the outset. That's the purpose, that was the whole inyan of Kofar Aleim Harakidigis, which of course begs the obvious question. One second. Who says that that was their rotzen in the first place? The equation is all fine and well if indeed that was their rotzen. If it really is the rotzen of a Jew to do the right thing, then if you force them into doing it, ultimately you're not changing his mind, you're not coercing him, you're just bringing out his rotzen to the fore. How do you know that was his rotzen? How do we know? Who's to say that Klal Yisrael genuinely wanted to be Mekayim Rotzen Hashem and they wanted to do the right thing? Who says? And the answer is, and this is the principle that we've discussed many, many, many times in this shiur. Many, many times. This is based essentially on one solitary word in a Mishnah in Masechus Avos. But as we've mentioned a number of times, we can read this Mishnah 100 times and not notice it. Baruch Hashem, Reb Chaim Volozhin did notice it and he opened our eyes. Because it says in the Mishnah of Avos there are 10 generations from Noach till Avraham. And then it says, Asora Nisyoinois Nisnaso Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times. Avraham was mentioned in the previous mission. It says there were 10 generations from Noach till Avraham. He's not called Avraham Avinu there. But with regard to his Nisyoinois, what is he called? Avraham Avinu. Very easy to miss out on that. Diuk, Reb Chaim Volozhin noticed it. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, this is the Yesodim in the parashas of Sefer Bereishis, we've mentioned this many, many, many times. The Nisyoinos that Avraham and Yitzchok withstood, we have to understand that they were Oymid B'Nisyoin in the capacity of Ovois. Meaning, every Nisyoin that they passed wasn't just to check the box and now you give them schar. They were now creating forevermore the genealogy, the DNA, the spiritual DNA of Klal Yisrael forever and ever and ever. They were literally the builders of Klal Yisrael, not just because they happened to be our ancestors, but rather Avraham Avinu as Avinu was Oymid B'Nisyoin. Such as, for example, we've mentioned this many times, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, I think something which is negated to every person in this room. Anyone who came from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, it's not an easy move. How do you muster up the courage and the bravery to do that? That all came from Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, he went to Eretz Yisrael. So he created that gene, and that now becomes part and parcel of the Jewish makeup forever and ever and ever. Why? Because it wasn't Avraham who passed the Nisyoinos, it was Avraham Avinu. Thousands and tens of thousands of the generations have been Moisa Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. How do they muster up the energy to do that? Because Avraham did that too. He was willing to give up his time on the Akedah, he created that gene, etc., etc., etc. This is the Yesod we've mentioned a number of times. In other words, what Reb Chaim Volozhin is teaching us, and this is why we discuss it in the parashas of Sefer Bereishis, because this is a brand new look, or maybe not a new look, but the correct look at what we call Maisa Avos Siman Labonim. Maisa Avos Siman Labonim, which is sometimes translated and maybe mistranslated as whatever happened to the Avos is a sign of things to come. It's more than just a sign. Whatever happened to the Avos is a creation of things to come. If you want to know what Klal Yisrael will look like, what is our DNA, as it were, what is our spiritual genealogy, it was all created and fashioned and molded for us by the Avos. Why? Because every chapter of their life was a chapter that they passed as Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. Not just as Avraham, freestanding individual member. No, as a founder, as an ancestor to the Jewish people, he created the Jewish people. In which case, we understand very well. Klal Yisrael came to Matan Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends Har Sinai over them. Why? So we said, because that was always their rotzen. He was just being Megaleh their rotzen, and he was bringing it from the pnimius to the chitzenius, we ask one moment, how do you know that that was their rotzayin? And the answer is because they are the bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, and the Ovos have created in them this natural direction and natural rotzayin to want to do whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do. That's how we know that it was Klal Yisrael's innermost rotzayin, because they didn't come as brand new entrepreneurs, newly made people. This is a generation. This is generation after generation after generation of Rom, Yitzhak, Yaakov, etc., etc., etc. So now all the pieces of the puzzle are in place. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, what did they create? They created what we call the pnimius, the rotzen apnim of every Jew to Makayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words. Stage one. Stage two, they come to Matan Torah, and there's a concern that maybe the Yetzirah will get in the way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends Hamar Sinai over above them. Why? Not to change their mind, or convince them, or coerce them, but rather just to bring out that rotzen that they had in the first place. How do I know they had it in the first place? Because they come from illustrious stock. They come from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Now we understand the Medrash. The Goyim come along and they say, it's unfair, you didn't give us the Torah. What do you mean you didn't give us the Torah? You refused it. Yeah, but you didn't suspend Har Sinai above our heads. Why did you suspend it above their heads? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Bring me your Sefer Yochsin. Bring me your book of lineage. Where did you come from? The answer is, not much. Klal Yisrael have a Sefer Yochsin. They come from Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. That's why I suspended Har Sinai above their heads. Had I suspended Matan Torah, had I suspended Har Sinai above the Goyim's heads, it wouldn't have meant anything. It wouldn't have helped at all. Why? Because that was never their rotzen in the first place. You can't force somebody into receiving Torah, and it's absurd. How can you force somebody to makabel the Torah? Klal Yisrael were never forced. The Yetzer Hara was removed on the day of the Kfir of Har Sinai. So now we understand the Medrash perfectly. The Goyim come and complain and they say, you never suspended Har Sinai above our heads. Why did you do so to Klal Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring me your book of Yuchsin. They have one, you don't. In other words, they come from Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, who are their Avos. That's their rotzen. That's what they want to do. They want to mekayim rotzen Hashem. So I'm going to be koifer oleim harke gigis, just like the Rambam says. You can force somebody to divorce his wife because that's what he wanted to do anyway, because that was the correct halacha. This was the correct thing to do as well. Mekayim rotzen Hashem. How are we going to megala that rotzen? Suspending Har Sinai over their heads. Why is that a fair thing to do? Because that was always their rotzen. They come from the obvious. The goyim don't. The Or Sameach, Rameh Simcha of Divinsk, the Meshech Chochman, Pashas Vayera, says, according to this, we understand the halacha that I think we're all familiar with, and he explains it so beautifully. You have a great plan, you want to perform a mitzvah, and you have all set up, and it doesn't work at the end of the day. You didn't do the mitzvah. So we have a famous principle, Machshava Kemaisa. If you had the machshava, you had the thought, you wanted to do the mitzvah, it's as if you did it. And what about the other way around? What happens if you had a machshava to do an aveira, wanted chas v'shalom to mechalal Shabbos, and it didn't work out? Did you get punished for it? No. One second. Machshava is kemaisa, or machshava is not kemaisa? It depends. For a mitzvah it is, for an aveira it's not. It's a bit strange. Even stranger, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that for a goy, it's exact opposite. If a goy intends to kill, for example, and doesn't end up doing so, what's halacha? It's as if he killed. You know the greatest proof of it, by the way? Say the night. What do we say about Lavan? Arami oived ovi. Lavan arami oived. He killed my father. He didn't kill my father. He wanted to kill my father. Yeah, because by a goy, machshava is kemaisa for an aveira, not for the mitzvah. So this is very, very bizarre. When it comes to a Jew, machshava kemaisa for a mitzvah. When it comes to a guy, mashallah kemaisa for an avera, what's the difference? Says Zohar Sameach, this is the difference. What was your natural rotzen in the first place? When a Jew decides he wants to learn Torah, he wants to get tzedakah, that's what he genuinely wants to do. So if it didn't work out at the end of the day, what do we say? It's not his fault. He really did plan on doing it. An oinus happened. So he'll get rewarded because that was his genuine rotzen. When it comes to planning to do an avera, that's not a Jew's rotzen. And if he didn't do it at the end of the day, it's not an oinus. That means he really backed down. But when a guy wants to do an avera, yes, that's his natural rotzen. So even if it didn't work out at the end of the day, that's because of unforeseen circumstances. But basically, you wanted to really do it. That's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. This is a very, very important yesod, that the Sefer Yuchsin, our attachment to previous generations is really what confirms and proves to us that every Jew, however removed, his innermost rotzayin is to do the right thing. Now let's fast forward 1 week, Mitzvah Hashem, this time next week we'll be on the brink of Shavuos. There is a Ha'ora, which I saw in the writings of Reb Chaim Friedlander many, many years ago, and every single year, this Ha'ora hits me in the face. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable when you think about it. We learn on Shavuos Sefer Rus. Sefer Rus, a wonderful story about Rus. Imagine we were asked to write in one line, could you please produce for me a character assessment of Rus? What were her outstanding midos? So I think we would all say, number one, Tznius. Famous Medrash says that Boaz noticed her in the field, she was very tzanua. Number two, Chesed. The Medrash said that the whole purpose of Sefer Rus, Megillas Rus, is to teach you about Chesed. I think we would all say that those were her two most outstanding midos, Tznius and Chesed. So it's absolutely mind-blowing to think about it. 1 second. Where does Rus come from? Moav. We know two things about Moav. They were the opposite of Tznius and the opposite of Chesed. Lo yovoi amayini umoyavi bekal Hashem. Moav can't enter Klal Yisrael. Why not? Al dvar asher lo kidmu oisem balechem ubamayim. When Klal Yisrael were going through their land, basic decency would have dictated that what? The Moav should go out and greet them. That's basic chesed. And they didn't do that. Fine, so don't join Klal Yisrael. You're the opposite of chesed. Furthermore, Moav. Why are Moav called Moav? Because Lloyd committed znus with his daughter, and the daughter called the child after the father. Moav, Me'av, from my father. That's the epitome of non-snius. So Moav are the opposites of Tznius and Chesed, and their descendant Rus excels in Tznius and Chesed. It's a mind-blowing horror. Do you know what the answer is? You're right, she comes from Moav. Where did Moav come from? Lot. And where was Lot brought up? In the house of Avram and Sarah. Avram is the paradigm of Chesed, Sarah of Tznius. Right, the Malachim asked Avram, where's your wife? Aye Sarah Ishtecho. She's in the tent being tzanua. So you've got to go back to your sources. Rus came from Moav, it's true, but Moav is a descendant of Lot, and Lot is a Talmud of Avram and Sarah. Say all you like, but Avram and Sarah, Avram is the Midah Amuda Chesed, Sarah of Tznius, that in the end of the day filtered through all the way down the generations to Rus. So she excelled in Tznius and Chesed. She was really, as it were, riding on the back of the Avodah of Avram and Sarah. That was her innermost rotzen. It got blurred, as it were, along the way, maybe with Moav, but it filtered its way through to Rus. That's the story, that's the purpose, that's the whole principle that we're being taught. Ultimately, why would Klal Yisrael zeicha to mekabel the Torah, or specifically zeicha to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspend Har Sinai over their heads? It's all because of their Sefer Yuchsin. because of their lineage, if you attach yourself to the Oves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you realize and understand that's the natural norm of every Jew to do the right thing. The flip side of the coin, and this is not a contradiction, but one has to be wary of it, is something that we're also taught in this week's parasha. And with this we'll finish. Because in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Beis, the Torah writes, Ve'ela Shemois B'nei Aharon. These are the names of the sons of Aharon, and it goes through all his children, Nadav, Avihu, Elozar, Ve'Isamar. Listen to the words of the Sforno, incredible words of the Sforno. Eile Shmois B'nei Aharon, these are the names of the children of Aharon, says the Sforno. Kol Echod Mehem, every one of them, his four children, Hoyo Nechshav B'Shmoi. He was prominent in his own right. Loi Mitzad Ma'ash Hu Ben Aharon Bilvad. What was his prominence? Not just because he was the son of Aharon, but rather because he was Elozar, Isamar, Nadav, Va'aviv. This is the flip side of the coin. Yichus is a double-edged sword. They always say, no, Yichus is like a bunch of zeros. If you put a one in front of it, it's worth something. If not, then it's a waste of time. That's what the Sforno is teaching us over here. Eile Shmois B'nei Aharon. Realize that these people were shameless, they were names in their own right. They weren't just the sons of. Now, I remember many, many years ago, I'll never forget, I was talking to somebody I met on a bus once in Yerushalayim, and I said to him, having a whole conversation, I said to him, by the way, I saw him every day on the bus and we never ended up talking. One day we did. I said to him, by the way, what's your name? And he looked at me with absolute horror. You don't know who I am? Clearly not, otherwise I wouldn't have asked you your name. You don't know my name? No. So he opens his Gemara, where his name was written, and I don't want to say the name, it was the name of the one of the most prominent Gedolei Yisrael in our generation. He said, oh, that's my grandfather. That's my grandfather. And I remember it hit me then. You know, that's your entire claim to fame? Because my name is, you know, one of the, as it were, royal family names, my grandfather is. But what are you? No matter what your grandfather is. That's what the Sforno is teaching us. Yichus is all wonderful and fabulous, but you have to be your own person as well. Eile Shmois B'nei Aharon. Don't think that their whole claim to fame is because they happen to be B'nei Aharon. No, they're Shmois in their own right. My favorite Sforno, B'chol HaTorah Kula, is in Parshas Vayechi. Very, very similar. Hamalach Hagoyel Oisimi Korah, we say it every night. So Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to his grandchildren, and he says, I'm giving them a bracha, V'yikorei Vohem Bishmi. They shall be called by my name, Avraham Yitzchak. Now what does that mean? They shall be called by my name. They will be, because they're your grandchildren. But what type of tefillah is that? I give you a bracha, Mitz Hashem, you should be called my grandson. I was born into your family. I am your grandson. Nothing we could do about it. Says the Sforno. Do you know what the bracha was? Hispalel aleihem. Yaakov was davening for them that they should be mekayim properly avodas Hashem in a manner sheyehei ruuyim, that they should be worthy carriers of the name of their grandparents. In other words, he wasn't giving a bracha, you should be my grandson, I am already. You should be worthy carriers of our name. To be the grandson of Avraham, grandson of Yitzchok, not poshut. You have to earn that title. The fact that you happen to be born into that family is meaningless as long as you're not ro'u to be misyachis after them. That's why he was giving them a bracha. I know that you're my grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim. I want to give you a bracha that you're Oved Hashem in a way that you're Ro'u, that you're worthy carriers of this extremely illustrious title. And with that, we understand, for example, we open up Parshas Pinchas. It says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So Rashi says there, famous Rashi, that he was also actually a grandson of Yisro. So all the Shvatim started making fun of him. Ah, you killed Zimri. You're the grandson of Yisro. You're the grandson of an idol worshipper. So what does the Torah say? He's the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. How does that answer the question? What? So he's not a grandson of Yisro? The facts on the ground are that he is a grandson of Yisro. So what the hell would you write? No, he's the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. So we're somehow going to sweep that under the carpet. But he is a grandson of Yisro. There's nothing you can do about it. Similar type of question, how's Korach referred to in the Torah? Korach ben Yitzhar, ben Kohos, ben Levi. Stop. What does Rashi say there? Doesn't say ben Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov said, don't mention my name with regard to the whole Korach affair. Same question. Alright, we won't write it. So now he's not a grandson of Yaakov? He is. The answer is, when the Torah writes that he is the son or grandson or great-grandson of, we're not writing who he is. The Torah is writing what he is. It's not just a history book. If you want to know when Pinchas killed Zimri, so what are the Shvatim claim? Oh, you're the grandson of Yisro. That's why you did it. You're coming from Avodah Zorah root, says the Torah. No. He's coming as a grandson of Aaron.
That means
his
grandparents up to, or he's all sons.
Because of what? What do you mean?
Right.
Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, right? So they therefore didn't warrant, as it were, this illustrious mention. Yaakov specifically said, I don't have anything to do with it. Why? Because they're not continuing in my path. Like you're saying, clearly maybe the other obvious yes. So when you say Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, what you're saying is, of course he's a grandson of Yisrael. We can't deny that. That's a fact on the ground. But he doesn't deserve to be carried that title as Yisro's grandson. Why? Because he didn't follow in Yisro's path. He followed in Aaron's path. That's the title that you deserve. Korach is the other way around. Oh, I'm the Ben Yaakov. No, you're not. I was born into his family. I'm not interested in who you are. I'm interested in what you are. If you didn't continue in his path, and the fact that genealogically, biologically, and your genealogy is that you're born into his family is all your relevance. Because you don't carry that title, because you didn't continue in his path. And we call ourselves the Bnei Yisrael. It's the same story. It's not just who we happen to be descendant of. It means we follow in that path. We follow in that path. I'll just finish with, I remember the night before I got married, almost 20 years ago, I got a phone call from one of my rabbeim in the yeshiva. It was Zriel Rosenbaum, engaged in yeshiva, was a cousin of our family, a very proud Chassam Sofer descendant, if ever there was one. So he called me up from Gateshead, I was in London, and he said to me, very sorry, I can't come to Chassid, it doesn't work out. And then Kedarka Bakoydesh, he told me, he gave me a bracha, mentioning the Chassam Sofer, as he does in every drasha, and then he said to me the following, I'll never forget. He says to me, listen, you cannot go through your life saying, oh, you know, the Chassam Sofer, yeah, that's my Zayda. He says, you have to act in a way where the Chassam Sofer looks at you and says, that's my grandson. And that's really what we're saying now. The Eile Shmois B'nei Aare means, I'm something in my own right. And not this fellow points his name in the Gemara and says, oh, you don't know who I am? My grandfather is one of the G'dayli Yisrael, the Seder, but what are you? And that's really, therefore, the theme of this parasha. Yichus is a double-edged sword. It's true. We are the Bnei Avraham, we're Bnei Yitzchak, and Bnei Yaakov, and that's our amnestical rotzim. But the follow-up stage is, you have to act upon that rotzim. Just to merely wander around, oh, I'm the grace of Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, is all meaningless then. If you act upon that rotzim, and you follow in that path, then indeed you have Yichus, and you have Zichus Avos, etc., etc. But the workload is on us. Like people said, as we said, you have to have the one before the zeros. We don't want to be just the Bnei Aaron, or the Bnei Yisrael, or the Bnei Avraham, or Bnei Yitzchak Yaakov. We want to be shameless individuals and characters, personalities in our own rights as well.